Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. We have a very special guest today, all the way from Ireland. And we're going to learn something really interesting about your cats and you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Lisa Tully. She is, as I said, based in Ireland. You'll hear her just gorgeous accent in a moment. And she does holistic knowledge in Ireland. Welcome, Lisa. I'm so excited to have you on Catitude.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks so much.
So I did not do you justice in sharing your background. So can you please explain what you do to our listening audience?
I work as a holistic healer for animals. And I focus mainly on cats and dogs at the moment. So basically what that means is I have a variety of different skill sets that I bring to the table when an animal, cat, is out of balance mentally, emotionally, or physically. And I work with the skills of animal communication. And I fuse that with five elements Chinese medicine for animals. And I'm trained in how to use herbs with them, flower essences, diluted down essential oils, hydrosols. I have a very varied background, and all of it comes to the fore when an animal's in front of me, a cat's in front of me. So I can then, there's not many things I can't have a go at. Let's say that.
Oh, wonderful. Now, can you do this virtually?
Yes, I do. I work remotely through photographs. So I have animal clients all over the world.
Okay, wonderful. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the internet, even though you say you work off of photographs.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how we can connect now. And so when I work with animals, if I'm doing like an animal communication session, I can do that over Zoom, and we do it live between the person and the animal. So the animal's there, or their photo, if the animal can't be physically there for whatever reason. And then when I'm working with them to heal physical stuff and heal deeper emotional imbalances, because I use the botanicals, you just ship them off to whichever country and you do the calls over Zoom and work through the photos. So it really is amazing because it gives me a real understanding of the different ways animals are living, cats are living, and, you know, the challenges that are presented for animals depending on what location they're in. It's all a bit different, and what's available as well. So it's really interesting.
You know, that sounds like it would make a good book.
Oh, yes. Yes. Funny you say that.
Writing one.
Yeah. Well, I was just speaking to a lady there last week about getting my first book out there for sure. So it's definitely on the cards now.
I think there's something to that. I have a deep affinity for culture, and I'm sure many of us do. And I've always believed, I mean, I'm in the U.S. I traveled many years ago, and I travel whenever I can, which is not enough because I have cats. But I really appreciate and respect other cultures. I don't think the American way is the only way. I've never thought that. I think that there's a lot of little nuances in other cultures that makes it so interesting. And the way that we relate to our cats is even more interesting because you add another element to it. But let's talk more about what you do. Let's talk about cats mirroring their humans. What does that actually mean?
It's a concept that I've been working with now for quite some time, where if we're out of balance in our lives, in ourselves, the animals that are sharing our space with us, that are sharing our lives with us, the cats will effortlessly pick up what's going on for us mentally, emotionally, and physically. They're so good at it that they'll even pick up imbalances within ourselves that we're not fully aware of. We all have our blind spots. And so what'll happen is, say, for example, you suffer from anxiety. And what'll happen then is the cat will be quite anxious. And if we then don't recognize this or don't address it, the emotional imbalances eventually become more chronic and then go deeper down and actually start to manifest as physical imbalances. So if you have a cat, an anxious cat, what can happen then is they can start to have digestive issues. They might throw up, you know, every so often, but then every so often becomes much more often. Okay, over time, they vomit, yeah, about once every 3 months. Oh, actually, they vomit about once a month. Oh, they're vomiting once a week. They're vomiting every day, right? So it just becomes more and more chronic. And the reason that happens, what I have seen over the years and what I've been taught by the animal nation is that on a human level, when we don't address our stuff, the animals will shout it at us. You know, if they'll start to whisper it at us as showing us their imbalances. But then as they become more chronic, they'll shout it at us. So that's where they get really serious physical stuff or really serious emotional imbalances. And for us, we don't always join the dots. It's not a thing that's spoken about a lot, but I'm sure if you ask any vets, they'll tell you they see it all the time in their practice. A stressed person usually has a stressed animal, a stressed cat. And I feel that the animals, the cats, are really, really compassionate. They really want the best for us. They want us to be living our best lives, and they want to be living their best lives beside us as well. And because they have that unconditional love, though, that real genuine wish for us to be our best selves, that's when they'll take it that far. They'll allow themselves to get sicker and sicker and sicker until we recognize it. And if we see the mirroring on a human level and we are open to it and we listen and we pay attention, we turn our full attention towards the way the cat is communicating this to us, we open up an opportunity to really, really not only heal ourselves, but really step into our life's purpose. That's how powerful this work is. I feel that cats are deeply, deeply conscious beings and deeply, deeply aware, and far more aware, I think, than society as a whole will give them credit for. They then, because they are highly telepathic, they can read our thoughts, feel our feelings. They know what our thought processes are. They know what loops we have going on in our minds. But then they also know our talents, our gifts, and our potentiality. And they can figure out and help us, show us what it is we need to adjust within ourselves, within our lives, within our bodies, within our hearts and our minds, in order to step forward into a stronger way of being in this particular lifetime. So the mirroring is really, it's really an opportunity. It's really a gateway. It's a doorway into a whole level of possibility. And the other way that they'll mirror us, for example, is say your cat has kidney issues, or when I'm speaking to a client, we'll talk about the cat and maybe they've got a lot of cystitis and they're always having bladder stones and they're always peeing outside the cat box. And that looks like it's a bladder issue, but really it'll stem back to the kidneys, because in Chinese medicine, the kidneys and the bladder are really in partnership. And the kidneys are the organ of fear. And if you dig a bit below the surface, when I speak to the guardian of that particular cat that has kidney issues, I say, well, have you got a bit of fear going on? You know, do you notice, have you got any kidney imbalances going on? And a lot of the time people go, yeah. Or when you list out all the things that are going on for the animal, they say, that's me. You've just described me. And I'm never surprised by it.
That is so, so interesting. Here's something that came to mind as you were talking about this. You know, cats are stoic creatures. So you can't always tell what's going on with them by just visually looking at them. And what, when you were talking about this in the beginning, what came to mind as far as, you know, picking up on emotions and mirroring is children, because as adults, we carry a lot of baggage, right? We're always worrying about 50 million things. Children are more pure. They're more innocent. They have, you know, their needs. They're hungry. They're happy. They're sleepy. You know, they don't worry about they have to pay the mortgage, or they have to pay rent, or they have to do this, or they have to get that done, or they have this project. And our cats are the same way. They want to be fed. They want to be cuddled. They make sure they feel good and eat. So I wonder if it's the fact that they can mirror us is having to do with the fact that they're just, they don't have all this extra stuff. Does that have anything to do with it? Or is this just a wacko idea?
I think they mirror us. You're right in the sense that they don't have to worry about the future. Okay, don't have to worry about paying the mortgage and that kind of stuff. But I would also say, though, that cats in particular, how I see them and how I experience them is that I like to say they're quite galactic. You know, they're really able to tap into our inner world. And so I doubt it's because there's an innocence there. I think cats are particularly intelligent and particularly wise. They're very wise beings. As always, I'd say there's a reason witches always had cats, you know. So say, for example, if there's trouble going on in the home or imbalances going on in the home, if you ever notice the way cats will sleep in different parts of the house, they'll move around and they'll move their sleeping part around. And you just kind of think, is that just them looking for a more comfortable place? But actually, I believe it's them rebalancing the energy in the home. They're very, very grounding for us. Even the vibration of their purr is a form of sound healing, which is why their bones will knit back together after a fracture, for example, much quicker than, say, a dog, because a dog doesn't purr, right? So the vibration of the purr literally knits it back together. So there's a whole other dimension to cats that I feel we're not fully aware of. And I'd say for them, when they're doing this mirroring, they do bring in that level of wisdom as well. They are very pure beings, but they're very, very wise beings as well. That's how I like to see them anyway.
Do you think this is definitely, you would say, instinctual versus an effect of the environment for cats?
Yes, 100%. I definitely think it's instinctual. And it's instinctual in the sense that they will tailor to the environment they're in. Right. So if you have one cat, right, and your cat is mirroring your imbalances back to you and you don't recognize it, and that cat falls sick and say that cat passes away. So let's say a cat passes away of some serious condition, like maybe having seizures or cancer or something like that. Right. And then the next cat you bring into your life, because you haven't recognized the mirroring or healed your imbalances that need to be mirrored. That's a better way of putting it. The next cat, your second cat, some may develop the same condition as the previous one that passed away. I've seen this, right? And say the second cat then passed away, the same condition, third cat being brought into the house, and you'll see it again, okay? So it's like they'll adapt to the situation and mirror whatever situation needs to be mirrored. And it's fascinating when you see that.
We have a couple minutes before the break. Do cats ever mirror each other or stay near each other? If you have, like, I have a multi-cat household, and prior to the three cats, there was also two dogs. I noticed one of my cats, when the dogs were sick, would lay next to that sick dog.
Okay.
Before the dog passed. Is that something that is a mirroring between the cat and the dog, or something instinctual that the cat's picking up on?
Yeah, I think animals instinctively know when one of the animals in their environment is coming close towards end of life. They instinctually know when the other animal is sick, and they will do things like that. They will either lie beside them to support them. Some animals will get really up in their face as well, which is a little bit too much, but that's the way they deal with it. Some animals will keep a distance. Like I remember, I know we're steering a little bit off cats, but there's a good example is where I live. I live on a horse farm. There's 7 horses in the mountains here in Ireland. And I remember one of the horses was sick and we didn't know about it. And on reflection, one of the girls remembers that when she saw in the field that there was a bit of a, you know, the horses were kind of getting a little bit aggro and one of them was kind of kicking out at the sick one. And one of the other horses kind of stepped in between and protected her. And it wasn't until after she'd passed away, we realized that she'd been sick at that time and that the other horse knew and was stepping in to protect her. So they're really, I feel that it's not necessarily a mirroring thing. It's more of an intuitive thing when they're working with each other like that. It's more us they need to mirror, because the natural world, all of the natural world, all of nature, all of the animals, all of the plants and the plant medicine, the rocks, the rivers, all of the natural world, I believe, is here to heal us humans. And it's much more channeled in that way. If we were healed, everything else would thrive, right?
Oh boy, if we were healed, that's the key. Okay, we have a short break for our sponsor and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Lisa Tully. She is a holistic healer, and we're talking about how cats mirror our human emotions. So, Lisa, this has been a fascinating show so far. What can pet parents do to maintain a calm, balanced energy that befits them and also their cats?
The best thing I feel we can do as humans to support our cats and so they don't have to mirror is really find what it is in your life that makes you joyful and happy and peaceful. I could say to people, meditation, but I know meditation doesn't always suit everybody. If you find it hard to sit in stillness and sit in meditation, that's okay. Your mind has had free rein for how many years you've never meditated. So it takes a while to train the mind in that way. So if that's challenging for people, sometimes it could be something like doing a kind of a moving meditation like Qigong, Tai Chi, some kind of deeper practice like that, which enables you to reset the nervous system and also get the emotions out of the body, out of the organs, so that the organs can function properly, so you can feel better in yourself, looking after your diet, making sure you've got high quality human beings around you in your life that are going to support you. So the more you can build yourself up in a way that suits you and what's available to you wherever you are living in the world, the happier you are, the happier they are. I guarantee it, you know. So it's really a journey about looking after yourself and really, I'd say, especially now when things are going a bit crazy, for me personally, I feel that I'm much better if I just don't watch the news, if I don't watch too much social media. I literally go in for work and I come back out again. And these are habits and practices. So it's not allowing yourself to check out. It's keeping yourself checked in. Because when we check out and when we go off on tangents, that's when the animals will start to try and pull us back again and start to try and get our attention and start to try mirroring us like in that way.
First of all, yes, that's great advice, because you're in Ireland, I'm in the US, and there's a lot of crazy going on everywhere. And I think that can definitely affect our cats because there's a lot of emotions there. I want to talk about a little about healing cats and as well as pet parents, but this comes in at a great time, I think, this question. What do you say to people listening that say, well, you know, that sounds well and good, but I really don't believe in any of this? Now, I will say this, keep in mind, I have a master's degree. And one of my first classes in my master's degree, I wrote a book on crystals.
Okay.
So it was very important. We talked about shamans. We talked about out-of-body experiences. So this is for an MBA. So personally, I am very open-minded to a lot of different things. That's where I come from. But not everybody believes that. So for those that say, this sounds like a lot of, you know, I can't wrap my head around this. What would you say to them to say, this is why you're wrong? Or this is why you should think a little more open-minded about this?
Well, I would answer that by saying what I'm talking about is nothing new. Okay. It's a very, very ancient thing for all of humanity to be able to commune and connect with the natural world in a deeper way. Humans were operating in that kind of space far longer than we haven't been. It's only in modern times, you know, where they've tried to redirect us down this kind of left brain route. Like, I come from a science background. I have a degree in biology and in chemistry. I used to work in the pharmaceutical industry, and I sold in the major London hospitals the pharmaceuticals into consultants and professors. So I come from that background. But I always had the intuitive side to me. I worked in a vet's for 2 years as well. And I work with vets now. I share cases with holistic vets in the States and in Ireland. But having said that, you know, science is such a modern conception. What I work on and what I'm basing all this stuff on is, like you touched on, the shamanic, right? You studied shamanic stuff when you were doing your MBA. Like, all cultures, you know, can trace back to shamanic roots. And that is a time in our existence, I feel, where we were able to live in proper harmony and synchronicity and synergistically with the natural world, right? Ever since we stepped out of that paradigm, we stepped into the left brain, and that we can dominate nature and that nature serves humanity. That's when the real problems began with the planet, okay? That's when we started to become more out of balance. That's when all the chronic illnesses started to explode across the world, when we took more chemicals into our body, when we put more chemicals into our food and more chemicals into the earth. And we see, you know, how out of whack we are, that we got ourselves here. But if we look back into the past when people lived, it wasn't like that. And we can even experience that today. Like, I went over to Mongolia and I was working with the Mongolian shamans there, and they were teaching me stuff about healing. I was doing ceremonies with them. They were healing me. And the shamanic culture is very, very, very powerful over there and very much alive. And what I experienced when I was with them was how they commune with nature and how they commune with the spirits of nature, the spirits of the lake, the spirits of the animals. The way they work is they bring the spirits of their ancestors into their body, and they can suddenly start speaking, you know, different tongues, ancient tongues and different languages. So how can you explain that kind of stuff? So you just have to jump in and really believe it. But to see how, like, when I was there, it was a special event where it happens about every 9 years, where about 40 shamans came together from all over Mongolia. And they literally, I watched them sit down, and all the head shamans kind of sat around, and they brought the unguts, the spirits, into their bodies. And they started to speak and talk about how we can heal the planet. How can we be ambassadors for the planet and sort all of this out, right? So this is the stuff that's going on in the periphery of the world. If we get off social media, right, get off Netflix and get out into the world, you'll see that our way of seeing the world and not really acknowledging the consciousness that exists in all of nature and all of the natural world is actually a smaller part of our existence, and I think also of our world, of who we are. There's all these indigenous people, and in the people who don't even need to be indigenous as well, like people that just believe, that go out and experience it. So if you don't like what I'm saying, it's okay. I just ask people to try it out for themselves. Isn't that always the way? It's like, look to your animals and speak to your animals. When you speak to them, they understand every word you say. And if you've got a burning question that you want to know the answer to from your animal, say it to them and then just let it go. All right. And then see what happens. Oh, see how the animal responds. See what comes into your awareness. See what insights you get. And it can be a question about your life, or it can be a question about theirs, because they will find a way to communicate it to you, whether it comes in a dream, you know, something, you know, they're unbelievably canny and creative, and they are forever communicating with us. We're just not aware of it. So if we open up, just open the channels up a little bit by asking them something and seeing what comes back, what feeling you get, what image comes into your mind. So don't believe me, turn to your cat beside you and ask them to show you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that insightful information.
You're welcome.
What would be a next step for our pet parents? So if they're, you know, talking to their cats and they want to get more, how would they reach you? Or what would be the next logical step in opening up the mirroring and communication?
So thank you for asking that question. The best way for people to reach me is through my website. My website is very easy to remember. It's animalhealing.ie. And on there, the easiest way into to access this work, to try it out, is I invite people to check out my animal communication sessions. And that's where we deep dive with your animal friend, with your cat, and we can ask the cat what it is they want you to know for yourself. And after that, then we'll also ask the cat what questions it is you have for the cat. And these sessions are real deep soul level communication sessions. It's not the type of animal communication where it's like, this is their favorite toy, or, you know, why did you slam the door earlier? You know, whatever, those kind of things. It's much more purposeful. It's much more back to your life purpose, your relationships, your health, your well-being. Whatever it is they really want you to know right now is what comes up. And again, I work through the photo, but we can do it live as well. So that's what I would encourage people to check out as their starting point with me. And then if they want to go deeper, if their cat has physical imbalances, emotional imbalances that would need deeper support and deeper botanical work, that's also available to 6-month programs that I do. But I think it's really nice to have the individual sessions first, so we can get a feel for each other and you can get a firsthand experience of how I work.
Lisa, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude and explaining how cats mirror their humans, and just such insightful information into your holistic hearing. The website again is animalhealing.ie.
Yeah, that's it.
See, I remembered and just heard it. Animalhealing.ie. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know it's a huge time difference there. So thank you so much again for coming on Catitude.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. And to everybody who's listening, thank you for all your support.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. I found it so insightful, so informative. I want to thank Lisa Tully for coming on Catitude and educating us. It's always wonderful to open your mind and see different perspectives. And I do believe my cats mirror me, and I want to definitely do more in this area. Very interesting. I want to thank my three cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for, I don't know, mirroring me and teaching me about themselves and myself. Thanks again to my guest, Lisa Tully. Thank you to my amazing Catitude audience. I very much appreciate you listening for all these years. And of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer. Thank you, Mark Winter, for all you do. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.